Okay. So we'll pretend that Kim's ding was the official start of the annual PPMD 2013 meeting. So first of all, thank you all for coming. I can't tell you how good it is to see all of you again and how blessed we all feel to be together with our family. So today is the day we start. We'll have an interesting and hopefully, really hopefully and hopeful-filled conference this year. So my first job, first of all, is to tell you a little bit about logistics. In the corner out there on the right, you'll find Ann Martin. Ann Martin and Holly PA man the Duchenne Connect Registry. And if you haven't registered, it's really, really important to register your son or have your son register for himself. This year, industry, as you know, trials are ongoing and in the pipeline, and 80% of all trials had approached Duchenne Connect to talk about the trial and mail the individuals who might qualify for the trial. So I think it's really important for you to be registered. And she is in the corner, so make sure you find Anne if you haven't registered. The next thing is we're here for a couple sessions, as you'll see from your agenda, and then we go away in breakout sessions, and then we come back at the end of the day together once again. So I recommend that you do go to the breakout sessions and come back at the end of the day so we can meet, after which time, if you do come back, then the reception is right outside where there'll be light hors d'oeuvres and some nice, hopeful, strong refreshments. So, my task is to open and talk to you about Duchenne, life lessons, and taking the sting out of the diagnosis. So, I'm not a very good expert on that, as you know. I have just one experience with both of my sons. So, I was doing some stealing of ideas and concepts from people I know and trust about how they live with Duchenne. So, I'm going to talk to you about that. So, why we're here? First of all, we're all here because Duchenne has touched our lives, whether it's our son's diagnosis, whether we're a clinician that takes care of people with Duchenne, whether that's somebody who loves a child with Duchenne, whether that's industry, academia, or people that you know. We're here because we work together. And so we're in this ecosystem where we all must work together to achieve a goal, and that is to really change the outcome of the predicted diagnosis. So in fact, we're a family. And one of the things that I hear so frequently is the wish to return to normal. Well, I'm not going to say to you that this is my family, but I'll say to you that some of the characters portrayed in here you could probably more likely find within my family, because I have a crazy Uncle Sam and a couple other crazies, and that is our version of normal, if that word should even exist. So we are a family, and you have a family. And I think at least together we should agree that there is nothing normal, new normal. It doesn't exist for us. And I happen to like Bart Simpson because he tends to make up words that I think are quite fitting. And so when I think of the diagnosis of Duchenne, I like his word that I just recently heard from Gary Noritz. It's a crisis opportunity, so it's a crisitunity. And I think that's where we are. This is a crisitunity, Duchenne muscular dystrophy, right? In our lives, it's changed things, and so it felt like pretty much of a crisis. But at the other side of this, it's also an opportunity. You'll meet people you never expected to meet. You'll go places and do things you never expected to do. Your son will teach you things, and he'll teach the people around him things that you never expected to learn. So it is both a crisis and opportunity. I think the first thing about Duchenne that is may feel to you quite selfish is to take time for yourself. When my sons were diagnosed with Duchenne, and even before that, I would take them to school in the morning, I would stop at a local track, and I would run about 4 miles. I also would sing at the top of my lungs. It made sure that I was running on that track alone, because it would quite quickly clear the track. And I often would sing and cry, and then I'd sing some more, and then people would start to come look at me, and when I got the feeling they were about to cart me off, it was usually the 4 mile mark, and I went home. So I think taking time for yourself as a primary caregiver, as a mom, as a dad, and giving your son time for himself, time alone, is really, really going to be important, even if you have to sing at the top of your lungs and clear the area where you are. I think you have to find time for friends, and time to do things with friends. Often I hear from people, my friends don't understand me because they don't know what it's like to live with Duchenne. It's true. They never will. I don't think it should be a demand. I think you should understand that they'll never understand, that the best thing they can do is stand next to you, maybe in a Bikram yoga pose like this, if you can get there. My daughter happens to be the blonde here. She's a Bikram yoga instructor because it's where she finds peace, and she's dragged me into it, and I can't do the poses, but I have to tell you that standing next to somebody sweating, even though they don't understand my life, makes me understand a little more about them. So I think it's worth finding friends that you can confide in, and they can confide in you, recognizing your lives are not going to be the same. I think it's about your sons and daughters. If you don't expect your children to be independent, they never will. So you have to begin early to kick them out of the nest, to take off your arms around them, to not worry about every little thing or compensate for every tear. They're going to have tears, so are you, so are your healthy sibs, your healthy children. All of us are going to have tears and worries and concerns, and we have to allow that to happen. So you can't always rescue your child. You have to let them experience the world and just be there, the wall to lean on. You have to connect to resources. And for this, I stole Melissa Hogan's slides. Melissa has a foundation called Saving Case. Melissa Hogan has a little boy with a rare disease that is a pretty complicated rare disease, and she's an attorney. And so she really thought about, when her son was diagnosed, what resources are out there. And I think we all kind of know them, but I don't know that we realize the amount of resources that are there. You have to connect with other families, and you can do that on Facebooks and forums and all sorts of different ways. You can even get together in person without your iPhone in front of your nose. Amazingly enough, you do not have to sit across the table from someone and text them. You might want to look in their eyes and really talk to them, because I think it helps. There are motivating factors for all of us, and they are to support our organizations, to help other factors. We have emotional needs we have to take care of. We're concerned about the quality of life, our day-to-day health, and the lifespan of ourselves as well as our sons. So these are the things that motivate us to work and to help and to do and to be. We also have a role to play, and that role is quite comprehensive. So once you have the diagnosis, you have to look for caregivers, you have to find a network, you have to educate yourself, you have to have objectives, and you have to have interests, and you really have to think about all of the roles you're going to play in this world of Duchenne muscular dystrophy. And I particularly like this slide of Melissa, because I'll tell you, most of my life, I was, in terms of my own health, an islander. In medicine, that means I went to the doctor, I listened to what they had to say, I was generally healthy, and I didn't have to think beyond that. So lots of people in medicine or who go to the doctor are islanders because they're generally healthy and they don't have to pay attention. Then there are consumers that go to the doc and they read about a certain something and they want to take advantage of it, or they watch a video and they go to the doc and want to talk about something in addition to what they're doing for their health. And those are consumers. That's when you want to get a second or third or 10th or 50th medical opinion. And then, as we begin to think about our sons when they're diagnosed, you become a participant, because you're out there aggressively seeking what is good care, who provides good care. You have to be able to have people who are going to answer your question. You engage with the community. You go on Facebook and ask them, who's the best doc? What does the doc say? What's the best regimen? What's the best supplement? What are you doing? How early are you intervening with your son's heart? So you become a participant. And then all of us sitting here today and hopefully online and being streamed around the world are influencers. And that means that we can change the course of what happens both to our son. We can support drugs in development. We can support good ideas. We can actively participate in clinical trials. We can advocate for the MD Care Act, and by the way, that's up for renewal, so if you haven't, please do. We can participate as an FDA representative, and we can speak to members of those regulatory agencies about how important a given drug or all of them or combinations of them are, and we will be sooner or later, if not now, speaking to payers about reimbursement, assuring that the drugs and the compounds, biologics that are recommended for our son are covered by the respective insurers or payers. So we become, by definition, influencers, and that's part of dealing with the sting of Duchenne. So I just, Melissa has on the side all the different little apps, and I'm learning about apps. And just because I want to talk to you just for a brief minute about apps, when you're thinking about friends, PPMD's friends, one is Siren, a company out of Chicago who did the app for us on clinical trials, which we find is quite incredible, always updated. And that means your friends can be anywhere at any time and do remarkable technology type of things for us to enhance our lives. We also have serious topics. The serious topic today, I think, and every day in our lives is, what are we going to do about these little hearts? Some of them, as you know, and have followed Mitchell's journey this year, Mitchell died very young. He was one of the 5% of boys who had severe heart failure that just couldn't be stopped. So early intervention with ACE inhibitors, ARBs, beta blockers, we have to think about that and talk about that. Baseline testing, cardiac MRI, participating in trials like the eplerenone trial at Nationwide Children's and Cincinnati Children's, drugs in development, new drugs in development. For instance, Armgo Therapeutics is here. They're developing a cardiac drug for Duchenne. Isn't it wonderful? And transplant and devices. So devices like ICDs for arrhythmias and devices like LVADs to really rescue the heart. These are all things as a community we have to think about. And perhaps you saw our letter to Secretary Sebelius saying the whole transplant policy has to be revisited. When my sons were here, the idea of a transplant in Duchenne muscular dystrophy was not a topic because of the lifespan. Our sons are going to be adults. The lifespan of Duchenne has dramatically changed thanks to investments, thanks to drug development, and fundamentally to the MD Care Act's investment. So the heart is a serious issue that we have to consider, not only for our sons, but for moms who are carriers. We have to be aware of our own health. And so this is a serious issue. And as you know, we also lost Matthew Denger this year. So we lost an adult with Duchenne and we lost a child with Duchenne. Those two things cannot happen again. We also have to celebrate. We have to celebrate everything. Ellen Wagner said to me in a meeting in Washington on Monday, and we were meeting with one of the reps, the FDA staffers, and Ellen said sometimes her family feels like they mortgage their future, spending time to really enhance the present. Now, Ellen's husband's not here, but the board members are here, and I'll tell you, I don't recommend mortgaging your entire future, but I do recommend taking advantage of the present, going to places you'd like to go to, not putting off celebrations. I think we have to live in the present, even though we're hopeful for a different future. I think we should celebrate the fact that there are 7 public companies now invested in Duchenne muscular dystrophy. I can tell you, in 1984, when my sons were diagnosed, we didn't have a gene or a protein product. When we started PPMD in 1994, if someone would have said 7 public companies will come and they will look at Duchenne muscular dystrophy, we might have wondered how drunk we were that evening to be thinking 7 public companies invested in Duchenne and 10 or more biotechs also growing and perhaps one day will become public companies invested in Duchenne muscular dystrophy. It's something to celebrate. So if you pass an industry or one of the biotechs, please thank them. There are 7,100 diseases that are rare. They could pick any one of them, and I'm deeply grateful they've chosen us. Yeah, that's good. We can celebrate a pipeline that's full of possibilities. They're all listed here. I didn't have Stephanie around me, so it's probably mixed up with the color. But just understand the pipeline is full with antisense oligonucleotides, stop codon suppression, the Pfizer myostatin drug, the Halo Therapeutics antifibrotic, and it goes on and on and on. Opportunities to participate in trials and hopefully approvals that will one day be in combinations to totally slow the progression of Duchenne muscular dystrophy. We have the next generation coming right after that, so a robust pipeline full of hope. And taking it from one of the MDA folks that I heard speak, hope is a strategy, and I think that strategy looks pretty sound. So I'm back to Homer Simpson again. I find a crisis-tunity is exactly where we are today. Duchenne can be a crisis, but it is also an opportunity. With all of you here working together and all of the ways we can work together, an industry focused on Duchenne muscular dystrophy and more people knowing and believing that Duchenne has and will have a future. Our boys will grow up and grow old and hopefully be able to tell us what to do someday as parents. I'll look forward to that. My daughters always do it anyway. So probably you don't know this about me, but I sleep with a pencil and a pad of paper next to me because I usually don't sleep very well, and I'm always getting up writing. It annoys my husband to no end. He often tells me that I'm, well, lots of things, but one of them is crazy. But as you know, we have no normal, so crazy works quite well for me. So my little pad next to my bed has at the bottom of each page, has a different inspirational verse for me. And I like that as well when I wake up in the middle of the night wondering what's next. So this one was today's. One life on this earth is all we get, whether it is enough or not enough. And the obvious conclusion seems to be that at the very least, we're fools if we don't live it fully and bravely and beautifully as we can. I have found in this community that we live fully, bravely, and beautifully, and that's why we're here today with seven companies and all of these amazing clinicians who deliver the most wonderful care and fundamentally having the best, most wonderful children that have ever existed on this earth. So thank you, and we're going to begin now with the rest of the conference. And that means hopefully Jim Dowling is in the audience. Good for you.